We have been in this series like all year, I think, and probably like another year probably of this. What we're doing is we are going through all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, looking at the entirety of Jesus' life in chronological order and basically seeing it as a single statement. Jesus' life was one message called the Gospel. Everything he taught, the way he lived, how he died and rose again is all part of what we call the Gospel. Today we have one verse from John chapter 8 we're going to be looking at. We've been in John chapter 8 for like 5 weeks now. He said too much in this chapter. Here's what he says. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said this: if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? No, you don't know. You don't know what he means by this. I don't either. If you guys are around the tables, you can grab. There's some bulletins on there. On the back, there are notes of the for the message. It also contains some of the scriptures that we're looking at this morning, as well as some other quotes. You can take those home with you. This is an interesting verse for this day and age, isn't it? This verse, our relationship with truth. When I say the word truth right now, I don't know, man. Our relationship with truth has changed so much in even just my lifetime, I feel like. Even in the last few years, I feel like it's grown, it's shrunk, right? It's become like, it's morphed, it's changed, it's been transformed in so many ways, this idea of what truth is, or my relationship and my desire for truth. It just continues to move around. We're in a kind of philosophical dance right now. A world that is black and white is a much easier world to live in, right? A world where we go, there is truth, and then there is falsehood. Case closed. Oh, I love that. I love that. And I don't know about you. Sometimes the older I get, Bob. Oh, come on. Every time. That's a falsehood. I don't know about you, though, but the older I get, as I live in a black and white world, the grayer things get, or the more I start to see some grays, and the more I start to go, oh, no. What do we do, right? The argument against this idea of absolute truth, which is really what we're talking, I think, about here, goes something like this. Christians believe they have absolute truth. Christians among many others, but we're at church, so we're pointing our fingers at ourselves right now. So Sikhs, we're going to make fun of the Sikhs today. No, I'm just kidding. Christians, we believe we have absolute truth, and that is that we believe that there are some things that everyone should believe and everyone should do, but the problem is that people who believe they have absolute truth undermine freedom. They, first of all, they tend to oppress people who are different from them, and they tend to impose their beliefs on others. They tend to harm other people's freedom in that way. And people who believe that they have absolute truth are themselves not really free. Here they are under this burden of having to comply with this set of divine directives, this absolute, no way to question, no way to challenge it. This is the way it is. And so we say everybody should just be able to determine for themselves what is true. Everyone should be free, right? Jesus uses this word free. This will set us free. Everyone should be free to determine their own truth and what is right and wrong for them. Absolute truth does not lead to freedom. Absolute truth is the enemy of freedom. This is the way the argument goes. It harms and erodes freedom. How do we respond to this argument? How do we respond to this form of logic? Because it's really, really challenging, and I think it's everywhere. First off, it's really interesting about this. This is in the water. Maybe we don't think we should believe that here at church. You're like, don't say that. That's not how it works. We believe in truth here. But this is in the water of the culture we live in, okay? The Supreme Court actually enshrined this cultural mindset in 1992. 1992, almost all of us were alive then, okay? This is within our lifetime, this idea of church has changed. Or I'm sorry, of truth has changed just within our lifetime. Listen to what they said. The heart of liberty. This is the Supreme Court of our country. The heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of the meaning of the universe. So there it is, you guys. To be free in our country, in our culture, to be free is to determine for yourself what is truth. So we say, don't impose your truth on me. Don't tell me what to do or what to believe. And here's the big question. Maybe it's the one you always hear, or maybe it's the one you always ask, depending on who you are. Who are you to tell me what to do, right? That's the big question. Who are you? What gives you the right to tell me what is right and wrong for me? Good question. So, should we just kind of give up on this idea of truth? Is it like a rainbow in the sky? It's beautiful, it's awesome, let's go find it and pursue it, but the closer you get, the farther it gets away. What are we doing? Can we even know truth? Can we have it? Is it something that if we get, we can actually even understand? Especially because truth, this idea of truth, having truth, leads to a lack of freedom. If we believe we have truth, we have to comply to it, we have to force it onto others, we have to obey something called the truth. That kind of pressure is obviously feels like a lack of freedom. Now, why do we feel that way? One of the great and maybe most influential philosophers of the 20th century was a Frenchman named, I don't know why I said that, but named Michel Foucault. And Foucault writes something that we may not be familiar with this exact quote, but I tell you again, this is in the water that we drink, that was in the air that we breathe. This is everywhere. Listen to what he says. Truth is a thing of this world. It is produced only by multiple forms of constraint, right? Opposite of freedom. Multiple forms of constraint. And that includes the regular effects of power. Now, what Foucault is saying here is this. Truth claims are power plays. Truth claims are power plays. When you claim to have the truth, when you claim to say, this is what's true, this is what's right, what you're really doing is trying to get power over people. Claiming to have the truth is a method of control, it's a form of constraint, a way of controlling other people's behavior and getting power over them. Now, that's the view of Foucault, and I agree. I agree. This is how people interact with truth. If you truly believe you have the truth, it absolutely can lead to pride. It can lead to exclusion. It can lead to the marginalization and exploitation of others. You see, I think that's the problem that most of us have with this idea of absolute truth. We recognize it for the sword that it is. And wielded wildly, a sword is dangerous. I don't know any friend, anybody in my life that I would be comfortable if every time we hung out, they had a sword with them, right? Just like, yeah, you took lessons, by the way. I still wouldn't hang out with you with a sword. Sorry. It's like, don't say that, man. No, I'm telling you, this is what truth is. It is a dangerous and powerful thing, and we need to see it for as powerful of an idea or a concept as it is. And so we say truth is dangerous, it is destructive, maybe we just don't have any need for truth. Maybe we could just let it all go. See, Foucault was probably like the number one disciple of Nietzsche. And Nietzsche developed in his lifetime what he called the hermeneutics of suspicion. And the hermeneutics of suspicion was a book I read that talked about it, and they basically called it philosophical squinting. And what it was is he was just suspicious of everything, of anybody's truth claim, anything like that. And so what would happen is you'd make a truth claim to Nietzsche. You would say any kind of truth claim to him. You go up to him, you'd say, okay, I truly believe, this is truth, that everyone should be working towards social justice. We should all be striving towards justice in this world. This is a truth claim, and I'm going to say this to Nietzsche. Nietzsche would look at it and go, a philosophical squinting. He goes, you want to call everyone to justice, do you? Is that because you love justice? Is it because you're so impassioned with it? Or is it a way to get you and your group up to the top? Is it a way to start a revolution, maybe, that allows you and your group to have power? This is Nietzsche. Right? Or you would say, you know what? No, here's the truth claim. Everyone should obey God's word. We're at church, you guys. I'm going to say that. Everyone should obey God's word. Nietzsche would listen to that truth and go, You think everyone should obey God's word? Do you? Why? Is it because you love God? You love his word so much? Or is it a way to show your moral superiority over those who are disobeying God's word, who are outside of it? Right? That's my Nietzsche impression. He was German. I should have put a German accent in there. This is what Nietzsche is saying. This is what Foucault is saying. And the reason we need to listen to what Nietzsche and Foucault say about truth is that it is exactly what Jesus says about the Pharisees. Jesus also says, you claim, to the Pharisees, he says, you claim to have truth, but your truth claims are just a way of getting power, a way of controlling others, a way of justifying yourselves, justifying your group, a way of getting control over God and other people. Listen, truth claims, in general, Jesus says, are power plays. And listen, when Foucault and Nietzsche and Jesus agree, it's gotta be true, right? It's gotta be the truth. These people have to have some kind of insight here that we do not have. But listen, if you insist that all truth claims, all the time, always are power plays, they always destroy freedom, you're wrong. And it just cannot be. Listen to one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis in The Abolition of Man. He says this, you cannot go on explaining away forever. You will find that you've explained explanation itself away. You cannot go on seeing through things forever. The whole point of seeing through something is to see something on the other side. It's good that the window is transparent because the garden beyond is opaque. How if you saw through the garden too? A wholly transparent world is an invisible world. To see through all things is the same as not seeing at all. Oh, man, what is he saying here? Lewis is saying, he's talking about Nietzsche here. He's talking about what Nietzsche is saying. He's saying it all. If you say all truth claims are power plays, well, like, so is that. Like, what is that? That's a truth claim. That's like a crazy truth claim. All truth claims are power plays. That is the biggest power play at all, right? Of all. Or if you were to say, like Freud says that all statements about God or religion are just psychological projections to deal with your own guilt and insecurity. Well, like, so is that. What kind of statement about God and faith and religion is that? That is a truth claim. Why would I listen to you? You've explained explanation itself away. These are not forms of logic that we can truly follow. You see, to see through everything is to not see at all. And to say that no one should make truth claims because that's just a power play, well, that's like the biggest power play of all. It's like a pin, you pop everybody's balloon. Like, you don't believe that. You can't believe that. It is a power play in itself, right? And this is really what kind of sucks. All of us make power or truth claims. All of us make truth claims. We all have truth claims, right? Everyone does it. Even if your truth claim is there is no truth claim. That's a truth claim, right? Even if your truth claim is you can't know the truth, well, that is a claim on knowing truth of some form, right? So where are we? What is it? It's not the point. The point is everyone makes truth claims. So it's not the truth claims per se that leads to oppression and pain and marginalization of others. It's what's in the truth claim. It's what's in it. It's what we're believing, right? This is what Jesus said, today's verse. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay, so looking at it again, first off, he starts off saying, if you hold to my teachings. That's a really important part here, okay? If you hold to my teachings. What were Jesus' teachings? We've been in this series all year, right? This is, like, we've been looking at Jesus' teachings. He hasn't died yet, so most of his life is teachings right now. So all of his teachings, they were what? It was how to forgive, right? It's how to be generous. His teachings are how to live beyond ourselves for the well-being of others, how to be less controlling, how to be less judgmental, less condemning, how to be less manipulative, how not to worry. That would be amazing. How to not be a hypocrite, how to live in quiet humility and yet hold convictions and power and strength. These are some of Jesus' teachings. How to live well in this world while facing suffering, adversity, and how the weak is somehow the new strong. This is what Jesus taught. Okay, so think about this. Think about it in this way. Maybe somebody in here, maybe you, at some point in your past, you were hurt really deeply. Somebody just did something, they betrayed you, they just cut you in some way, and it hurt, and you hated them. You just hated them for it. And every time you thought of them, it just brought up this bitterness and this anger. Every time you saw them, you felt like, oh, you wanted to throw up. And you wanted to tell everybody because it was just so real and so hard. And maybe at some point in the past, you said, I can't live this anymore. I can't hold this anymore. I need to figure out what this forgiveness thing looks like that Jesus talks about. And so you chose early on, years ago maybe, to start forgiving, to start working through what does it mean to like forgive this person for the thing that they've done and to let that bitterness go. And slowly you started to do it. Slowly you started praying for them, and now you actually hope for good for them in some way. And now maybe when you see them, you don't feel sick. You actually like, there's almost a part of you that almost loves them even, maybe, right? Now, if you have experienced this, if you have walked through forgiveness in this way, Jesus says, now you know the truth, and this truth will set you free. You know you've experienced because you know it's worse on this side. Holding on to bitterness, holding on to this anger and hatred is so much worse. And now you know the teachings of Jesus are real. They are truth because you've experienced it in a brand new way. You've opened up, right, in a new way. Or maybe, you used to be very selfish. Maybe you were always so scared and insecure and worried all the time, and you tried to hold on to what you had. You tried to control things and try to keep things in the right place in life so that you don't have to be afraid and don't have to give and don't have to, like, I just got to make sure everything is safe here. And you realize at some point this is boring and this is, like, there's no life here. Keeping everything like this just is not living. And so slowly, maybe over time, you've started to choose to be more generous. Slowly, you've chosen to give and chosen to kind of live outside of yourself and started to think about ways that you can contribute and serve and care for others. And you realize now you know in a new way what this teaching of generosity looks like. And that knowledge of it has now set you free. There is something in this that you have firsthand experience, right? That there is this flow of love and goodness that you can like kind of step into now. And Jesus says, this is what Jesus is saying, if you follow my teachings, then you will know the truth. You will know it. Now listen, this is what's so crazy about this verse. This word know in Greek is the Greek word gnosko. And gnosko means firsthand experience. It means to like have experience. It's the word that we use for like it's intimacy. It's like to know in the biblical sense, right? It's to experience this thing firsthand, right? So Jesus says, if you obey my teachings, then you will know. You will experience the truth. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, if you live according to them, you're learning as my students and how to live in this world, this kind of gospel way of life, then you will have firsthand experience of the truth, and that will set you free. That truth will set you free. Not just the info, not just like knowing God's stuff, knowing the Bible, not just like the right truth claim. I had the wrong truth claim, now I got the right one, so now I'm free. That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. It's knowing from firsthand experience of living out this gospel life, this Jesus way of life. Now we know that it is true, and that truth sets you free. It sets us free. From a few different things, and I'll end here with this, a few different things that it sets us free from. First, it sets us free from being intimidated by much smarter people than us. It does. The truth of Jesus is not knowledge to get. It's a life to live. Have you ever experienced this when you're talking with somebody and they just seem to kind of know it all? You know, they can quote chapter and verse and author and early church historians and writers, and they have everything. They know it all. They've traveled. They've seen it all. You bring up something about the Middle East, and like, oh, I was having falafels in Riyadh last week. And they intimidate you, right? It's just like, this person seems to have everything figured out. Every box is checked, and they know it all. They're articulate. They can make it sound just right. Here's the thing. What Jesus offers, joy, peace, courage, love, generosity, these are equally available to all of us. Like, you don't got to go to Bible college. You don't got to get a new translation of your scriptures. You don't have to like continue to just get more God knowledge. This Jesus kind of life is available to anybody. And if you feel like, I'm not smart enough, I don't know this stuff, I haven't figured this out yet, that's fine. This life of Christ says is available to everybody. Doesn't matter your IQ, doesn't matter your travels, your experiences, all the external life stuff, these virtues, these fruits, this life of Christ that he demonstrates for us is equally available to everybody in equal measure. And that truth, when we experience Jesus in his life, that truth sets us free. And when Jesus talks about truth, he isn't talking about understanding, like knowing the truth. He's talking about living in this world in a particular way. And so the next time you find yourself around somebody and truth seems to be the subject at hand and you find yourself intimidated at how this person seems to have a real handle on the truth, guess what? That's not what truth, you don't have a handle on it. It's something we actually live out according to Christ. Jesus places the truth in a larger context of a whole life that you are living, which is the things that truly matter. Next, the truth will set you free from stupid debates. Can somebody say amen? Stupid debates. Do you have somebody in your life that just keeps wanting to mix it up with you? You know, they just keep wanting to get in there, they keep bringing it up, they keep emailing you. Every time you're with them, they keep trying to set you straight. Listen, God is not an argument. It doesn't work that way. He is not, we're not trying to win a debate. You're trying to live and to be free. We are after something so much bigger, living in a way and in such love that we can forgive even our worst enemies, that we would be a channel of redeeming grace to those around us. That's what we're about here. And the problem is that some debates are a giant waste of time. Just a giant waste of time. And look, good, real, like, discussion, like really getting into deep stuff, that's like some of my favorite, like my favorite thing in the world, possibly. I love that. I love getting into stuff, really getting into it. But some debates are just so boring. And this is, I feel like this is the problem with like Facebook and Reddit and all the other kind of like ways, all these ways that we can leave these nasty little comments. That's just not what we're trying to do. That's not what we're into. It's one thing to argue about the recipe, and it's another thing to enjoy the meal, right? It's another thing to like take and eat, taste and see. This is the truth that we're here to experience, not just to debate it. Is that making sense? There are so many people that are so concerned with the ingredients and the cooking and the preparing, and that's great. Like, I love theology, and I think that's wonderful and it's important. But dear God, like, for the love of God, can we not forget the whole point to enjoy the meal, to know him, to experience him, to experience the truth. This is a fundamentally different use of our energies than just saying, but what's right? What's the right thing? I got to get the right thing. I got to figure it out. If you have a person in your life who is like this, who's just like, you can tell them, I can't keep having this conversation with you. I don't think I can do this anymore. And the reason that you can't is that you're after the truth. You are after the truth. And the truth isn't just having the right list of beliefs lined up in our heads. It is a fully orbed experience of life. As Jesus says, if you hold my teachings, if you live in a particular way, if you pursue this divine path, then you'll know the truth and it will set you free. It will free you from having to try and prove things to the people about the recipe and free you up to just enjoy the meal, to find yourself in your Creator, to be free to live the life that Jesus has given you. And this is actually what's going on right now, I believe, at a larger level with what people call religion. The whole thing, like in America, in the Western world, a number of things that are masqueraded as religion are simply just thought systems. They're simply like intellectual exercises that people had. And a number of people are like, that's just not what I'm after. And you see all these people leaving the church and leaving faith and leaving religion, partly because what we've been offering may not even be real truth. It's just a list of stuff. And that's fine. Reject the list. Let's go after the truth. Like, I want a practice. I want a path. I want a way of being in this world, a life in this world that brings me joy that I can spread to those around me. I can't tell you how many articles I've read trying to analyze what's going on. Are people more spiritual now or less spiritual now? Is the church this or that? I don't think the larger, deeper point, it's what we're looking for. We're looking for a path. We're looking for a way. We're looking for truth that isn't just a thing to know. It's something that we can actually experience. Truth is not an argument. It is a person. It is a person of Jesus to know and to be experienced. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you are not a truth claim. You are a person. You are a person that's alive. You're a person for us to know. You are not a power play. You are not something to be manipulated and to be wielded over others. You are a person to know, a person to experience in how we live. Lord, I pray that you would help us to experience truth in you, that as we're sharing these things, what area of our life is the gospel not infiltrated so that we can follow your teachings in that way so that we can know, we can just know the truth. We can know you, we can experience you, we can be, once again, deeply connected with our Creator. Help us to find that path as we continue to seek your truth. It's in your name we pray. Amen? Amen.
Count.